Good evening. I will call the May meeting of the Colonial School Board of Education to order. Our guest speaker this evening to lead the flag salute is Miss Betsy Fleetwood. Betsy, if you would, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first order of business we have is additions and or corrections to the board agenda. Do we have any?
No.
Okay, any from any members of the board? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Rosie Wolf, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Do I hear a second?
Robin, second.
Robin Crossan will be the second. Questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. You consent. The agenda is approved as presented. Next order of business we have is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
Rosie Wolf, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
McGee.
Leo McGee, second. Questions? Hearing none. And I'm going to do this for Ms. Russell. As I call your name, please signify by saying yay or nay. Ms. Wolf?
Yay.
Mr. McGee?
Yay.
Mr. Crossan?
Yay.
Mr. Handy?
Yay.
Myself, yay. The motion carries. Next order of business we have is administrative of appointments. Dr. Menzer?
Yeah, I'd like to ask for the board to approve the administrative appointment that we discussed in executive session.
For which position?
Pleasantville principal.
Do I hear a motion?
Leo McGee.
Go ahead, Leo.
I make a motion that we approve the administration's selection for the principal of Pleasantville Elementary School.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Ron Handy, second.
Ron Handy on the second. Do I hear any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, as I call your name, please signify by saying yay or nay. Ms. Wolf?
Yay.
Mr. McGee?
Yay.
Mr. Crossan?
Yay.
Mr. Handy?
Yay.
Myself, yay. Motion is carried. Next order of business we have is the bid approval for the boiler replacement in Wilmington Manor. Ms. Falcon, would you like to give us a quick summary, please?
Yes, we have, I believe the winning bid was, it's actually under challenge right now. We did, the winning bidder, whose name I apologize, I am forgetting, but Jem McKinney.
Schlosser,
okay. Gem Mechanical came in and did issue a challenge. Our legal counsel has issued a response to that. We haven't heard back from that, but you know, your vote will go forward if the legal challenge is dropped by the by Gem Mechanical, and we will award it to Schlosser as the second lowest bidder.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Robin Crossan.
Go ahead, Robin.
Approve the bid for the boiler replacement at Wilmington Manor Elementary as presented.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Leo McGee on the second. Questions?
Leo McGee, what was the challenge?
There was an issue with subcontracting, and the bid requirements indicated that they had to show us or disclose any subcontractors that were going to be doing work, and there was some confusion, I guess, on the part of GEM Mechanical about what they had to disclose, and they felt like there was that confusion should have caused them to be awarded the bid. But apparently it's, you know, it is a an issue that has been challenged before and successfully won before, that, you know, this is an ongoing requirement that all the subcontractors get listed out appropriately, and they did not do that. So we feel pretty confident that we're going to be able to prevail.
So if it says it, they got to do it.
Yep.
Right. In essence, they have to list all their subs. Correct. Totally. Yep. for all the positions that are agreed upon. Okay.
Correct.
Right. That was going to be my question as well, too. So any other questions from any members of the board? Okay. Hearing none, as I call your name, please signify by saying yay or nay. Ms. Wolf?
Yay.
Mr. McGee?
Yay.
Mr. Crossan?
Yay.
Mr. Handy?
Yay.
And myself, yay. Motion is carried. Education items is our next order of business. Extra pay for extra responsibility. Dr. Menzer.
As I mentioned at the last board meeting, that we were going to be considering our EPR allocations for approval to the board. We've put together a request that will allow us to maintain the level of EPR positions that we currently had last year. There were no changes to last year's allocation. We feel that this approving this at this time will also allow us to begin hiring process for our fall sports, and as well as some of our summer athletic activities. So there was no change to the EPR allocations from last year. So it's a pretty much a flat request in terms of EPR.
I hear a motion.
Ron Handy.
Go ahead, Ron.
Proposed EPR allocation as presented by administration.
Do I hear a second?
Robin
Crossan on the second. Thank you very much. Questions?
I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
So with the quarantining going on and us not knowing for sure and certain what happens with that and when it all ends, does that have any impact at all on the number of positions that you would have?
Frozen.
We can hear you.
What, me?
No, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, okay.
Could you repeat the question, Rosie, for us one more time?
Yeah, sure.
One of us can pick it up.
Yep, that's fine. I'm asking if the number of positions that we're approving here will change based on the COVID quarantining that's going on right now, and not being in large groups. Like, if that extends itself out even further, will that impact the number of positions that we're approving?
Jeff, are you coming back in?
Yep, he's back.
Sorry about that. Can you guys hear me again?
Yep.
Yep.
Sure. I'm sorry about that. I lost my internet here. So I'm going to have to just go through my phone. Sorry, what was your question? Or did Emily answer it?
No, I mean, the number of positions that we offer wouldn't change, but, you know, we are looking at ensuring that as we move into the fall and when we do the contracts, we might put some additional language in the contract indicating that, you know, if the fall season or if the school year looks different and the contractual obligations are different, that the pay structure might be adjusted to account for that. But I don't know that there would be any reason that we would be offering more or less positions going into the year if things were to change from a quarantine perspective.
Well, we wouldn't expect it to be any longer than what it normally is. If anything, it would be shorter, correct?
Right. Yeah.
And are those payments based on length of the season, or is it a lump sum for the season?
It's a lump sum for the season. That is, you know, there's a schedule in the contract that's a good one. And, you know, we would just basically, you know, we actually came to the decision for the spring EPR payments for this year that we were going to pay those spring payments at 50%, since the seasons did not actually, you know, take place in full. So we would look to do something similar if, you know, the fall sports seasons or the fall seasonal EPR was impacted in that way.
So we're not locking ourselves in where you're saying if you change the language, you know, to adjust, then that'll be part of the contract.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions by members of the board? All right. Hearing none, please respond either in the affirmative or negative as I call your name. Crossan?
Yay.
Ms. Wolf?
Yay.
Mr. McGee?
Yay.
Mr. Handy?
Yay.
Myself, yay. The motion is carried. Superintendent's office report. Dr. Menzer?
Just give a quick, thanks, Ted. Give a quick, just high-level overview of some of the things that have been going on in Colonial, just high-level updates for you, and then I'll take any questions that you have with respect to where we are in terms of the COVID pandemic and our remote learning plan. First, I want to definitely start off this presentation by commending all of our staff for working the plan that we've developed and staying the course. It's been outstanding to see all categories of employees putting their best effort forward for the best interest of the Colonial community and students. Last week, we had a great celebration of Teacher Appreciation Week. A lot of great little activities going on at the buildings, at the district level. We were able to get out and stick some yard signs in front of some folks' homes and really put in folks' faces. So it was a really good, a great week last week. We had our social emotional support group or FOMAT space for helping families through time from the softer side, not in the classroom. They continue to get recognition and accolades for their efforts to help families. Dr. John Cooper was part of a UD panel that was heard by over 300 people across the state about some of the great things going on in Colonial. I'm sure they're going on in other districts. We are just fortunate enough to have John be able to speak on our behalf and share some of the good things that we're doing and receive some really nice positive accolades. Some updates in terms of like deadlines and things that are looming or that you might have heard. Graduation at William Penn is going to be three-tiered. There's going to be a virtual ceremony on June 13th. There'll be a diploma and a cap and gown pickup following the virtual ceremony sometime the week after. And then in the future, hopefully by that point, the following week, there's a planning to do a photo opportunity for the families to come back up with their grad to get a photo op of the grad in their cap and gown with their diploma in front of the building of William Penn. So a nice professional looking photo for the child. And they'll also be receiving a yard sign with their grad's picture on it, which will be displayed in front of William Penn on the day of the diploma pickup. The yard signs, the plan is for them to be staked in front of William Penn's property as if they were sitting in chairs in the graduation ceremony. So that definitely plans to be a really spectacular sight. So as those things get closer, you'll start seeing it in the Colonial clippings. You can always just check out William Penn's website. We're on target to finish the school year for the seniors academically on June 5th. Pre-K through grades 11 will wrap up on June 12th, and our last teacher day will be June 18th. We've made some decisions around summer programming, really the most significant one being we did cancel William Penn summer camps, and we have begun refunding all the money that was paid to families who were signing up for that. All of our other programs at this point are planning to go virtual using a remote learning style that we've established this past couple of months. You just need to know you're going to hear the governor or potentially the state talking about holding out hope that they can get some students in for some face-to-face instruction, specifically our students with special needs that really require some intense one-on-one or small group assistance. They are really trying to get those students in buildings. I'm not really sure they understand the feasibility and the logistics of that. It's just more of like something that they'd really like to see happen, but we won't know more about that until a couple of weeks. But I just want you to know, in case you hear it, you know, we'll kind of respond the best we can given the time frame they give us to turn around a program if it's possible. starting next Monday, our buildings are going to be open for 12-month staff who would like to work in their work sites. While the governor did extend the stay-at-home order through May 31st, all educators are considered essential employees, and they have the ability to work at their work site if they can or if they need to. We are opening up the doors to allow our 12-month staff who need to get into the building to start working, start kind of shaking off the cobweb and figuring out what it's going to look like when we go back. What are some of the things we need to be thinking about? So that will be that will start on May 18th. The state has brought in an outside group that's working on not aligned to any state agency. They're kind of a offshoot group, a private partnership of some sort that's going to be examining what schools look like when they reopen. They are planning to have recommendations to the governor by July 1st. Lastly, I have a meeting tomorrow with William Penn High School around fall sports and summer sports activities for athletes. Dia has asked us to kind of weigh in on what we think we can do, what we'd like to do, just so when they're making their decisions around the fall season, that they have fully been informed by the district our capacity. The last thing I'll say is we are, you know, really trying to stay on the positive side of this crisis by, you know, our message is not things that have been lost and taken away, but more about opportunities that are in front of the folks that they've never had before. So we're treating milestones and firsts, both in the learning space, as well as what the future might bring for educators and the learning environment. It doesn't do many people a lot of good if we're talking negatively about our situation. You just start to feed into that negativity and don't feel like you can claw your way out of it. We're making a real conscious effort to stay on the positive, hence the colonial clippings on a regular basis, hence the intense social media campaign to focus on kids and positive things. So that's really what I wanted to say. It was a little bit longer than I wanted, but those are the high-level updates. I'll entertain any questions if you have any.
Jeff, can you share with us what proactive plans or that you're doing in the event that we have a second wave of this thing?
So right now, Ted, we've begun to establish an action team that's going to begin planning out what our return to work will look like and or what it looks like if we go back in a hybrid model to the point. There are many options that we're looking at. We haven't really picked an option. We haven't really fleshed out the options. Literally, we began that conversation Monday, Ted, about what is the district going to look like in August.
Okay. Well, I think we need to be ready to go on that, because as much as I hate to say it, is that I have a feeling that this thing may raise its ugly head again come fall or late fall.
Hence our slow rollback, Ted. Many districts are actually in a different situation where they have full staff. They've had fully staffed buildings for a long time, expecting their people to do things that we did not expect our people to do because of. We wanted to make sure that we were maintaining social distancing, respecting the flattening the curve effort that all we should have all been doing. We're continuing that with a slow roll, gradual back to operation. I don't think as many people are taking that approach, but I agree with you. We will be ready. We just will not be the district that knee-jerk reacts and does something right away because that's what everybody else is doing. We're going to take our time and put our safety of our students and our staff first, and that's what's been our mantra all along.
Okay, good. Have any questions for Dr. Menger in regards to the COVID-19 update?
I just like to commend him being proactive about safety first. I've been having those discussions with people. I don't want to do something too soon and something happens. I don't want to be the person to have to tell a family member they contracted the virus because of something that we did too soon.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you, Ron.
Last month, we – go ahead, Leo. You have something?
Yes.
Yes. I've, you know, I interact with other school districts because of what my wife and I do. And I have to say, Colonial came through much better than anybody else.
I don't
you. Know, good planning, good you know, you got it going. The safety factor probably did it because going into the building is, it doesn't work with a remote. So anyway, thank you, and it was a pleasure to be part of Colonial on this one.
Yeah, well, that was a great team effort. People who are you know, listening to this call or and are sitting in on this meeting, many of them are the ones that those accolades go to. So I definitely you give a shout out to everybody from, you know, the specialists, the custodians, all the way up through the council, the directors, the supervisors, the assistant superintendents. It was a team effort, and they bleed cherry and black, and so they care about the community. So you always can rest assured that that's going to be the case. And it's good, Leo, that you felt that difference. So it'll be good to know that.
It was amazing to say. It was and very enjoyable, too. Thank you.
With that being said, I know last month we had spoke about everybody taking a few minutes and putting a little communication together and dropping it off by email to the staff. I'm not sure if anybody got a chance to do that. If you did, great. If you would, please. I mean, I think the staff would like to hear from all members of the board on how well that they've done and how much we appreciate that. So please take a couple minutes and jot a note down and send it out to Dr. Menzer or Pete or Betsy or whatever, so they can get it out to everybody and then go from there.
Yeah.
It would be very well approved.
Robin did a nice job. Robin did a nice one after the last board meeting. It was well received and appreciated. You know, a lot of people said, you know, it was nice that a board member took the time to do that. So it's a couple of simple words, it go a long way for folks. So if anything you put together, it would be much appreciated.
All right. So if you can, take a couple minutes and do that, if you would, please. All right. Any other questions for Dr. Menzer? All right. I had one other one, but I forget what it is right now, but it can wait till next month. Next order of business we have is business. Ms. Falcon, you're up, and you have two reports to give this month.
That is correct.
You want to do the budget variance report first, right?
Yes. Okay. Good evening again, board members. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with everyone. Okay. Everyone can see that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the first report I'm going to go through is our budget variance report. We're looking right now at the period ending the end of March. So still very early on in this whole closure, you know, COVID situation. We did review this virtually with a Zoom meeting on May 5th with our finance committee. We've gone through three quarters of the fiscal year. As of this report, we've got just under 94% of our expected revenues, and expenditures are trending under budget at 72%. Adding in those encumbrances, we are right on track at 75.66%. So still in good shape. Credit card transactions, as you could expect, were down for the month. We only saw less than $5,000 being spent because we had shut down pretty much all travel and, you know, any professional development that would lead us out of the district was on hold at that point. There was also discussion with the finance committee of the impact of the closure and what that is looking like for our budget situation for this year, but also what we can expect for next year. Essentially, you know, the impact for the short term, because we are not paying out a lot of stuff that we normally would in terms of timesheets for, you know, extra work that our teachers and other staff members do, you know, field trip expenses, transportation expenses are certainly down in terms of fuel and so forth. So we may see a short-term gain in our cash position. And, you know, that's going to be a really good thing because we are expecting that FY21 is going to be a much more difficult year than it was anticipated to be at the beginning of March, because, you know, we are looking at, again, thinking the state is going to have some cuts to, you know, to hand our way to help them balance the budget situation that they're seeing at the state level. So we haven't gotten a ton of additional information from the state, but we're, you know, we're in communication with them every day, not every day. Dr. Menzer is you know, still on calls with the governor's office. We're still in contact with the budget office and the Department of Education, getting information on that. But there really hasn't been much in the way of specifics. So, and the CFOC did vote to recommend approval of the budget variance report at their meeting on the 5th. So at this point, do you have any questions for me on the variance report?
Emily, I have a question or two. Number one is, have you heard, or is there any federal funding opportunities that's going to be in the works for us from either the state, from a state level, or individual districts going to the federal? I know they're kicking around some different relief packages as part of this pandemic.
Right. Yeah, we actually have gotten information that as part of the CARES Act, which was one of the relief bills, the stimulus bills that was passed, Colonial is expected to get just under $3.4 million in federal stimulus relief funds. The uses for those, you know, they're heavily pushing investing in educational technology and connectivity that would help support remote learning plans. You know, part of what we need to do is put a plan together. The department is, we don't actually have receipt of the funds yet at the state level. And, you know, there's some discussions at the state level going on. and we should be getting information in the coming weeks about, you know, what that application will look like and what we have to do to put a plan together for how to spend that $3.4 million. You know, I am expecting that at least a portion of that is probably going to be necessary to help buffer state level cuts that that we can expect, because you know, as far as I know, there is additional money that the state has gotten for federal relief as well, but there's still going to be budget holes that they need to fill. And you know, if we have federal money that we can use in the short term, you know, I think education is going to have to expect to take some cuts to make that budget situation work out for the state. So, you know, we're hoping it can be minimized. The impact of it can be minimized with that $3.4 million from the feds. And that, you know, we won't be looking at drastic cuts for next year.
How do they determine how much money you get? Do you know what the formula is for that?
Yeah, it's basically you're proportional based on Title I. So the fact that, you know, we are a Title I district and, you know, have a relatively high rate of low-income families means that we got a decent share given the size of our district.
All right, good.
Yep.
Other questions for Ms. Falcon? All right, hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the monthly budget variance report?
Make a motion that we approve the monthly variance report as presented.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Do I hear a second?
Robin Crossan, second.
Thank you. It's been moved to second. We approve the monthly budget variance report. Questions? Hearing none, as I call your name, please signify by saying aye. Mr. Crossan?
Aye.
Mr. McGee?
Aye.
Ms. Wolf?
Aye.
Mr. Handy?
Aye.
Myself, aye. The motion is carried. Aye. Next order of business we have is the financial position report.
Yes. So the financial position report, you know, this is what we bring to you three times a year. The report for this time frame is looking at it's due for May 1st, but we're looking at our cash position as of the end of March, projecting forward to the end of June to make sure that we do have enough resources and local local cash on hand to meet our payroll obligations until our tax receipts come in the fall. The report shows that we do have sufficient cash on hand. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I do expect that we're going to get to the end of the fiscal year with a little bit more cash than was projected initially, given, you know, given some of the reduced spending that we're seeing right now. So there's no issues to put forward or make you aware of with the report. And we also reviewed this with the Finance Committee last week, and they did recommend to put forward the report for your approval at the board meeting. And I would take any questions.
All right, a couple questions going out to that is, in light of the court decision that was made last week that was publicized, what are your expectations, or do you not have anything to add to that as of yet? In regards to the taxation, the school taxes.
Right. So the court case you're referencing is that the assessment or the taxation system of lack of reassessment was found to be unconstitutional by the courts last week. I have not heard any immediate action that's going to be taken. My understanding is that the result of this decision will mean that the General Assembly has to take action to put a plan in place to actually start a reassessment process that would occur statewide. It will take several years for that process to go forward. Reassessment is something that's been looked at, you know, for years and been studied, and there's task forces and recommendations and so forth. You know, most of the assessments are so outdated that they will need to have boots on the ground, people actually going out to properties and making, physical assessments. So it is going to be a long time coming. I would expect, my guess at this point would be, 4 to 5 years until the new assessment information is really on the books.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have for right now for you on this part of it. Any other questions from members of the board?
Nope.
Hearing none, as I call your name, please signify by saying yay or nay to approve the motion. Oh, let me step back. Do I have a motion to approve the variance report?
Ron Handy, motion to approve the variance report.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Handy.
Rosie Wolf, second.
Thank you. We move a second to approve the financial position report. Questions? Hearing none, as I call your name, please signify by saying yay or nay. Mr. Handy?
Yay.
Mr. Crossan?
Yay.
Mr. McGee?
Yay.
Ms. Wolf?
Yay.
Myself, yay, the motion is carried. If we could step back to the superintendent's report. Dr. Menzer, a couple things I think I know that there's a plan in place that we need to address. You addressed graduation. Could you please address the retirement recognition plan? Mm-hmm. And then the plan for the scholars that usually happen at the end of the school year. Do we have any plan for that from the from the state?
So the Secretary of Ed Scholars was canceled. They were doing something virtual, and I haven't seen anything since that they canceled it. I have not received any information. The retirement dinner is going to be a virtual retirement celebration. It's going to be a series of, much like we did last week with the Teacher Appreciation Week, we're going to do a retiree appreciation media campaign in the coming weeks, and we will be seeking the feedback from the current supervisors in order to create that campaign.
Okay, and I think we had Mr. Crossan on the docket to do the address for the board, so I'm assuming that you will contact him.
He's being asked to write a statement. Yeah, Lauren Wilson will be reaching out to him to create, to do a statement that'll go along with it for him to share, that'll go out in the campaign.
Okay. And then the last thing, because I see I remember these things now that we got to wait something else. NSB, go ahead, Robin. I'm sorry.
I sent my message to Lauren, and I put in there that
You sent it to Lauren. I did hear that. I can just check in with her if there's something I needed to look at. Okay. You were a little broken up at the tail end.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Robin.
You need to edit it.
Great. Thanks.
All right. The last thing that I had is I will assume that NSBA has been canceled for this year. And, of course, we as a state, not being able to travel, those type of things, we would not be attending anyhow. But have you heard anything officially on that?
No, I have not, other than I think just about everything was canceled in this.
In the world.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Next order of business we have is items removed from the consent agenda. We have none. Public comment, we have none, according to Ms. Russell. With that being said, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Mr. Handy, Ross. Thank you very much for a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. We are so adjourned. Thank you, everybody, and we look forward to seeing everybody next month. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to get together and have our meeting. But until then, we will Zoom it. Thanks again.